Where has the year gone? November's always a time for looking back. It's the time of All Saints and All Souls, when we remember our loved ones no longer with us. Then it's a time of fireworks and bonfires, as we remember Guy Fawkes and the plot to blow up Parliament. And then just 2 weeks ago, we stood in silence to remember the dead of two world wars and the end of the First World War. But this week, we stop looking backwards and start to look forward. Today is the Sunday next before Advent, but it's also known as Christ the King. And we start to look forward, as I spoke to the children, about the coming of our King, our Saviour Jesus Christ. No more looking back, just looking forward. Next Sunday marks 4 weeks until we retell the story of a king's birth in a stable, and how the lowest of the low and the ones who could afford gold as a present both made journeys to see the arrival of the heralded Saviour. That's just 4 weeks to put everything in place to welcome our Lord and King. 4 weeks to think about all the people involved in the story of our Lord's birth. 4 weeks during which we will prepare to welcome into our churches people who may only visit once a year to hear that nativity story and sing carols. 4 weeks to think about what that lowly birth meant to our lives. As I said to the children, preparation for a party or any celebration takes thought, effort, and planning. Yesterday was the Christmas fair at St. Francis. It seemed to have been in preparation for months, but over the past couple of weeks, there have been those usual questions. Has anybody let the papers know? Who's putting the bunting up? Have we got enough prizes? But the fair happened. There may not have been as many people as we hoped, but it happened. And each week in our churches, we have a service of celebration. And there are times when I really believe that some of the members of the congregations think that it all just happens. They don't seem to realize that arranging a service started when the stewards placed their requirements for the quarterly plan. And then John and Marianne tussled with which preacher was free for each service and arranged the printing. They don't know about stewards contacting the preacher for readings and hymns and all the other elements which are needed. And where would I, the preacher, be without an organist, a choir, a worship group, two readers, somebody to do the prayers, the Sunday school leaders, the sound system, the door stewards, and the overhead projectionist. It all takes careful organising, if it's going to seem effortless. There's a lovely gospel song that says, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And at this time of year, that has two meanings. We're planning Christmas. We're preparing to celebrate the birth of our Lord and all that means to us. All that means to those planning those Christmas services and the nativity plays and the Christmas dinners we're all going to be attending. But it also means we have to prepare ourselves for the day when we meet our King face to face. If we plan a journey or an event or a holiday, we take into account certain factors. We have choices to make. They can include the destination, the mode of transport, and how much it's going to cost. We can choose to make those arrangements ourselves or leave it to an expert. Once we've done that, we sit back and look forward to the event. However, for the ultimate journey we're all going to make, the one where we will see our King, only one person, with God's help, can plan for that journey, to be ready to make that journey. The final line of the reading from Revelation said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, who is to come. God was there at our beginning. He will be there at our end. But we have to be ready to meet our King. In John's Gospel, Jesus answered Pilate's question, are you the King of the Jews? By saying, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So it would seem that if we are to be ready to meet our King, we have to be ready to listen to the truth and act upon it. But to do that, we have to know what is the truth. John's Gospel says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And that means everyone who believes, not just you or me, not just the rich and famous, not those who shout the loudest, but those also who pray quietly for help, those who believe but are afraid to say so, those who believe but are afraid of rejection in our churches. It means believing that our King is a King of peace and love, and offering that gift to all who need it. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus was asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus' reply was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The teacher of the law replied, "You're right in saying that God is one. There's no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he'd answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." To love your neighbor as yourself is the great truth. God loves us. We should love God. We should love ourselves. And we should show that love for ourselves and for God by loving others. Our preparation to meet our King has to include sustaining our body, mind, and spirit. And it must include sharing with those who need it, sharing our fellowship, sharing our food and drink for the journey. We must give shelter to the homeless, hope to the lost, and we must bear witness to God's love and compassion for the world. Because as Matthew's Gospel tells us, the King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The journey to meet our King may at times seem arduous. But a verse from soon and very soon says, "Should there be many rivers to cross, should there be any mountains we must climb, God will supply all the strength that we need. Give us grace until we reach the other side. soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Today is also Stir Up Sunday. The collect for Stir Up Sunday is relevant to our journey. So let us pray. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruits of good work, may by you be plenteously rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.